Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing? This is how we do podcasts. All right, going once, going twice, take two, action. Hey, Mac, what's up?
Hey, how's it going there? What happened there?
This one is my fault. I accidentally forgot to sync you up with the thing.
Okay.
So that's on me. The technical difficulty is on me. So I'll own up to it. But glad to have you on the show as always, man.
Yeah, glad to be on as usual.
Yep, and this is apropos, man. This is the episode 499. You know, so you know we had to show you some technical difficulties that even, you know, us pros who've been doing it for over a decade, you know, we have these, you know, I guess mental lapses at times, but, you know, this is how we do it. On this show, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else, you know, the deal, and this, you know, this would fall under anything else, but, you know, we mainly talk about sports and entertainment. So on today's show, we're going to talk about the Knicks, the resurgent Knicks. We're going to talk about
New York Knicks.
Oh, yeah. We are the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just say we are the New York Knicks?
We are the New York Knicks.
Did you just say we are the New York Knicks?
We are the New York Knicks.
That's right. We here. We're going to talk about them.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Knicks. We're going to talk about the King of the Ring tournament, you know, the King of the Ring finals that happened at the Crown Jewel event on Thursday afternoon. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about baseball, what's going on in baseball, Astros advancing, Braves on the verge of advancing. A new person enters as a possible replacement as GM / baseball, president of baseball operation in Brian Sabian. We'll talk about that, my thoughts on that. And we'll just talk about what else is going on in the world of sports entertainment. Of course, Nets, the Knicks. Of course, we did mention the Knicks already. You know, the Giants, Jets. You know how it is. If you love sports, you know, and entertainment, this is your spot right here. This is the number one spot you got to go to. So without further ado, if you want to express your thoughts, you want to express yourself, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, okay, I did say that right. 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics. We'd love to hear from you. But first, Mac did say we are the New York Knicks. Am I not mistaken?
Yes, we are the New York Knicks.
What are we?
The New York Knicks.
All right, hit it.
We are the New York Knicks. 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 On the fourth floor in Morris 94, and the Knicks are hardcore, and I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Greg, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that cake. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks, and if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Say go New York! rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Yep, that's it. That's the New York Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Taking me back when I was a little kid, when the Knicks were relevant, you know, when they were a legit championship caliber team. But, you know, props to the Knicks, the New York Knicks, man. They're building upon last year. So far, they're proving they weren't a fluke. Going to the, you know, being the fourth seed, you know, they're, you know, so far so good. You know, they beat up on their rival Celtics. And they also beat up on the Magic. They showed that they were more magical than the Orlando Magic. And
yeah.
They're hoping to do that again tomorrow, where this time they're going to host the Magic, you know, at the Garden. So, yeah, the Knicks, they've been making history, man. Game one, Wednesday night, Fournier in his Knicks debut, he scored, what, 32 points? First Knicks to score 30-something, at least 30 points in his debut. Kemba Walker, you know, he had some costly turnovers. He didn't have, like, a great night himself. But, you know, Randall, he had, 35 points. You had Mitchell Robinson with a double-double, a career-high 17 rebounds, if my memory is not mistaken. Yeah, they won in overtime. They won a game that they never would have won. And then of course, you know, you had the second game where in Orlando, man, they were just shooting threes. Like it was NBA Jam. You know, they broke the Knicks record of 20 threes. And, yeah, they set the new record, 24 threes. And they were just beating up on the Magics. I mean, there was one point where they kind of let the game kind of get away. I think it was in the third or in the fourth quarter, but you know the Magic, you know, they were, I think the closest they got it to was maybe 14 or so, but then the Knicks pulled away again. And you know, props to the Knicks. I think Randall led the way in like with 22 points or so, double-double. That game on Friday night, it was a balanced attack. Even Jericho Sims scored. You know, it was like, you know, the Knicks, man, they were just putting on a show. And it felt like it was a guard. It was on Garden West, MSG West. You know, sound like a kid, you know, the fifth kid of Kanye West. You know, or should I say MSG South, I should say. It was on the West Coast. MSG
yeah.
South, I should say. You know, so it was like a Garden game. Even Fournier, who spent seven seasons with the Magic starting his career before he got traded to the Celtics last year, where he was teammates with Kemba Walker. You know, he felt like it was a home game. And another thing, it used to annoy him being on the Magic. You know, the Knicks would come over and, you know, just, you know, take their fan base. But now that he's on the other side, you know, he's enjoying every moment of it. And now they're going to come back tomorrow and extend their winning streak to, you know, a possible three-game winning streak. And, you know, the Knicks are looking good, man. What's your thoughts on this 2-0 record with the Knicks, building upon what they did last year, and then they had the preseason where they dominated? What's your thoughts on the whole state of the Knicks?
Well, they're 2-0. They're off to a great start. And that first game to kick off the regular season was the greatest, if not the best game I've ever seen the Knicks play, the best season opener I've ever seen the Knicks start with. I mean, that game was insane. And you're talking about an overtime game with three-pointers being shot all over the floor, a lot of mishaps, dunks, different runs, a comeback. I mean, you had it all in that opening game against the Celtics. And that game is going to go down as one of the greatest games, one of the greatest opening games in NBA history. You know, Knicks ended up winning 138-134. I mean, you had Fournier's coming out party as a Knick. 32 points in his debut. Mm-hmm. Came up clutch, shot some threes, you know, there in the fourth quarter and in overtime to help us win. And
double overtime, too.
Yeah, yeah. And did it go to double overtime? I thought it was just one overtime.
I think it was double, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it double? Okay, yeah, because I forget now. So, yeah, I mean, and those guys, you could tell they were getting tired because, you know, at one point they were missing shots. And, yeah, man, that game was that game was crazy. It was a crazy game, but it was a fun game to watch. And it looks like it was one overtime, not two overtime, was it? Maybe you're right. Maybe it was two overtime because, you know, that game was so – I was so into that game, I forgot how many quarters it was. So maybe it was two overtime, but – it was a fun entertainment game, and it didn't end until like close to midnight or past 11:30 or something like that.
It does look like you were right. It looks like it was just overtime. I could have sworn it was double overtime.
Was it just overtime?
I can't even remember.
Maybe it was double overtime. I can't even remember at this point, to be honest with you.
Yeah, double overtime.
It was double overtime. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that game, man, that everybody was talking about that game the day after. Even LeBron James was tweeting, wow, you know, that it was a great game and the Garden was rocking.
No thanks to him.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You should have came to the Knicks if that was
the game. He took all his talents everywhere except for New York.
Yep. And now look at all these players admiring the Knicks now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Knicks team, they have potential. They have a lot of young guys who could run the floor, shoot threes, and they're only getting better. And so this 2-0 start, you know, it's a great start. I don't want to go too crazy and say that we're going to win the championship this year.
Like some of our fellow Knicks fans was doing after the game.
But it's a good start. But let's not get too crazy yet, you know. We have more games to go in the season.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they're competing, man. They're really
they're fun
living
to watch.
living up to the Knicks moniker, you know, what the Knicks, you know, used to be.
Yeah,
you know. So, you know, all the props to them, you know, they earned the right to put on the Knicks uniform.
Yeah.
They've been playing. Yeah, so let me see. We're facing
the Magic tomorrow at home again.
Yeah, we're facing Magic at home.
Yep.
Yeah, because it was a home and home series. Then we're going to be playing the 76ers. We're going to be hosting the 76ers and their drama with the Ben Simmons thing, with Joel Embiid first saying he don't care about the guy. And then afterwards, then he backtracked maybe a day or two later and said, he's my brother, which I think it's probably him, you know, someone on the higher ups of 76ers probably told him, hey, man, you're killing Simmons' trade value. So, you know, that's probably why he backtracked and, you know, now call him a brother. Like, first he went from I don't care about the guy to that's my brother. Let me
ask you something, Will.
I'm listening.
If you were in Ben Simmons' position,
right?
You know, after that horrible series against the Hawks, where people are questioning your shooting ability, and you know, pretty much saying that you have to improve your shooting. You can't shoot. And you don't live up to the pressure in big games. I mean, how would you feel? You know, would you have the same mindset that Simmons has? Would you act like the way he's acting right now? I mean, also, there are rumors that Sixers are trying to also trade him.
Well,
you know?
That's why Joel Embiid, you know, the leader of the 76ers, is, you know, trying to, you know, squash the beef by saying he's my brother after he previously said he doesn't care about him. I think it's, you know, the higher ups told him, you know, you're destroying the trade value, you know, diffuse the tension between the two guys, and you know, let's, and we could get rid of this guy easier.
Yeah, but how would you feel if you were in Simmons' position? After, you know, all the talk about you can't shoot and the trade rumors during the off season, I mean, you know, and your mental state is affected right now. Mm-hmm. How would you feel? Like, what would you do?
Well,
would you,
I mean,
would you want out, or would you stay with this team?
Well, here's my thinking. I mean, it's easier for me to say because I never played professional basketball. But you know, knowing how I am, I would have had to come to Jesus moment and be like, you know, think, you know, hey, you know, I'm not playing the way I'm supposed to. I'm not playing the way that, you know, my expectation and other people's expectations of me. You know, I gotta work on my shooting and try to be a better player. You know, like the Knicks players have Randall, you know, RJ Barrett, even Toppin. You know, they've improved their games. You know, it's like, you know, you have to like look at yourself in the mirror and be like, hey, you know, I don't want to be the weak link. You know, I gotta, you know, improve my game. And you wanna put yourself in the position that you improved so that you can help your team. And if you are playing well, then you could even, if they do trade you, you'll be in a better position. And it'll, you know, it'll help your when you become a free agent eventually or sign an extension, you'll be in the driver's seat. You know, so it's in his best interest to you know, not be in his feelings, you know, train hard, work on your shooting, and try to be the best player you can to turn it around, you know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any leverage. He has no leverage whatsoever. You know, he could get cut, you know. His trade value is at an all-time
low. If he does get cut, there are a lot of teams that would be able to pick him up. I'd love to have him on their team because this is
but
a guy.
But he doesn't get paid the way, you know, that he feels he should be paid until he turns it around for himself. Because if he goes, he's not going to, what are they going to, you know, he's not going to get the amount of money that he wants.
This is still talented. This is still a guy, you know, he can play point guard. He can play defense. He's one of the best defenders in the league.
Well, yeah, of course.
And he can do others, you know, he can pass the ball and he can rebound. And he can give you some points. But, yeah, he does have to improve his shooting.
He does. That's his
he can help a lot of teams. And if Sixers are that dumb to just cut him without trading him, then that's going to be the dumbest move they've ever done in their history. I mean,
yeah,
you can't cut him without getting something.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like he has to work hard to try to improve his weakness so that he could be in a better position to make more money in the long haul, you know. Because he had, you know, and this team, you know, the 76ers, you know, they're you know, they're a competitive team, you know. So it's in his best interest to try to do everything he can to be a better player so that he can help them win the title. And then he'll be in the driver's seat whenever his free agency comes, you know, and he'll make the money. He'll make that money. But if he's in a situation where he gets just traded, or, you know, he gets released, he's not going to make the money he envisioned that, you know, he did, you know. So, yeah, he just has to, you know, work on his shooting, and he'll be fine. That's what I would have done. What would you have done if you were him?
If I were him, I'd be like, fuck you guys, to be honest with you, because they asked the coach after the series, where do you think Ben Simmons will still be with this team? His answer was, I don't know. I mean, if you're a player and you're hearing that, your own coach is saying he doesn't know if you're going to be on their team. Like, that doesn't instill any confidence in you.
I mean, that's true.
And then you hear rumors that you're being traded also. I mean, do you know how what that does to a player's psyche? You know, them hearing themselves in the trade rumors. I mean, that just tells you the team doesn't want him to begin with.
They don't.
And then you have this comment by Embiid, and then now Embiid is retracting. I mean, that tells you again that, you know, they don't want this guy. So if I was in Simmons' position, I'd say, screw you guys. Trade me now or else I'm sitting out forever.
So you're
or else release me, and then another team can pick me up, and then, you know, I could play great for them, and then they could give me a bigger contract than what you guys could offer me. That's what
I
would
do. But how are you going to get the big contract if you haven't played for years?
What do you mean years? It's only this season.
No, no, I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, like you said, it was this year. Like, if you're going to sit out the year.
I mean, he's most likely going to come back and play this year. I don't think he's going to just sit out the whole season, right? I mean, whether it's for the Sixers or another team, he's going to come back and play. And if he does come back and play and, you know, he plays great, I mean, there's a chance, you know, that's if he signs on another team, you know, and plays great. I mean, they can offer him an extension, right? I mean, he can eventually make more money than what the Sixers can give him.
Yeah, but he has to audition. He basically has to view this situation as an audition, that he's going to do the best he can that he could get traded in a better situation or go, you know, go as a free agent. And show that he earned them off of the money.
Yeah. I mean, let's remember, Ben Simmons is not a bum. I mean,
he's
an all-star. You know, let's not forget that.
Of course,
He's an all-star player. So this is not like a bench player we're talking about, you know?
Well, yeah, I know that.
This is still a guy, you know, who has potential. So
yeah, he was part of the trusted process that, you know, they felt that him and Embiid would be cornerstone players for many years to come.
Yeah, I mean, he still has a lot of time, so, I mean, you know, this guy can still be an asset to any team, you know, whether it's the Sixers or any other team over. I would even love him to come to the Knicks, you know. I mean, you know, if he could play I don't know what role he would play in the Knicks. He'd probably have to come off the bench with us right now if he was on the Knicks. But I would love his defense on the Knicks, yeah. And the fact that he can play point guard and give you that tall body, yeah, come on along. You know, that'd give us that'd make our bench even deeper than what it is right now if we can get a guy like Simmons.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know?
I mean, you have Quickly in that role, but you have another guy like that.
Yeah.
With his potential. I mean, that's – yeah, and you could get him on the cheap, I would assume, since – you know, they're, you know, all that drama.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's a movie you should definitely take a hard look at.
Yeah. I mean, because there's guys right now that, you know, we've been looking to trade, like Knox. I mean, Knox, it's been up and down with him ever since, you know, he's...
His rookie year.
So, you know, there's trade rumors are surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give up a guy like Knox and someone else for Simmons. Would you do Quickly and the Knox for Simmons?
I wouldn't give up Quickly.
Okay. I would probably do it. I probably would do it. Because you have because the guard position right now, we have a three-guard-headed monster. It's going to be it's crowded right now. You have Walker, you have Burks, you have Quickly, and you have Rose. And some of these guys, you know, one of these guys is going to have to, they're going to get less minutes eventually.
Yeah.
And the odd man out is probably going to be maybe Burks. You know, it's looking like right now, unless they can have Burks, you know, alternate between, you know, point guard, shooting guard, maybe small forward, have him alternate at different positions, I guess, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, they did have the that small lineup, you know, come in into the game, you know. I think first game. So, you know.
And then you got Toppin playing well, and then you're going to have Knowles come back and Taj Gibson come back. You know, some of these guys are not going to get minutes going forward, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's a good position, you know, for the Knicks. You know, they're finally firing on all cylinders right now. and, you know, the wrap up the week after they face 76ers, they're going to be going to Chicago against their rival Bulls. And then Saturday, they're going to wrap it up with the Pelicans, you know, in New Orleans, you know, just a few hours away from the, you know, our 500th episode of this show. So hopefully the Knicks can keep this winning streak going and get a W in New Orleans. Then you shift gears with the Nets, and the Nets, you know, they lost the first game against the, I think it was the Bucks, if I'm not mistaken. And then they came back and won the second game on Friday night, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it was. So, yeah, they lost to the Bucks 127-104. And then they lost – they won against the aforementioned 76ers 114-109. You know, of course, the Nets, you know, they have the – you know, they only have two of the three-headed monsters because of Irving's stance on the vaccine that he's going to set out this season so far. But Kevin Durant, you know, he had a triple-double, 29 points, 15 rebounds, and 12 assists. James Harden, you know, he almost had a triple-double himself. He had 20 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. So he was close to having a double-double or even a triple-double. And then LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, his first year back since retiring last year, I think because of a regular heart problem he had, you know, he's, you know, he scored 23 points. So, yeah, all in all, the Nets finally got their first win of the season, you know. You know, they're trying to overcome, you know, the drama that, you know, that's surrounding surrounding their team, you know, especially with Kyrie Irving, which they've been having drama with him, you know, since last year. Or even the year before that, because the year before that, I think he sat out the year, or he got hurt, you know, obviously when Durant got hurt that first year. And I think he went to like this like a club, and he had to sit out from the team, you know, because because of the COVID protocols. So yeah, there's been drama with him, you know, ever since he's been on Nets. And then of course, you know, before he got traded to the Nets, he had some issues with LeBron, but you know, fortunately for him and LeBron, won that title, and then Kyrie Irving apologized to LeBron, you know, realizing, you know, the problems he went through as the leader of the team, you know, after his experience in with the Celtics, you know, before he ultimately came to the Nets. So, yeah, what's your thoughts on the state of the Nets before they host the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow afternoon?
Well,
Center.
I mean, this whole Kyrie thing is a distraction right now, you know. But the Nets, they're talented enough where they can still win games without Kyrie. And they have Harden, they have Durant, they have Griffin, Aldridge. So they can still win games and compete, you know. But Kyrie, I think, you know, he's a special type of player and clutch. You know, so they definitely need him, you know, in big games. We saw last season in that Bucks series, they could have definitely used them. So, you know, for big-time games, you know, they need him, you know, in those types of moments. But, Who knows if he ever comes back this season? You know, the way it's sounding like, he might not even play this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or he might not even play for the Nets going forward. You know, who knows? We'll have to see. But, you know, I don't think Kyrie is going to – I don't think he's going to, you know, get vaccinated anytime soon. You know, he's going to stick to his word, and he's not going to let anyone pressure him into getting vaccinated. So the Nets are just going to have to deal with it and just play with the players that they have right now on the roster. And right now they're 1-1, I think, right? I mean, they lost that opening game to the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But then they won yesterday. Well, they won today against the
Yesterday.
Against the Hornets, right? Was it the Hornets?
No, they're facing the Hornets tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, tomorrow, okay. Who did they beat?
They beat 76ers.
Oh, okay, they beat the Sixers, okay. So they still have talent. I mean, you have one of the greatest players ever. Well, two of the greatest players ever.
Two, yeah.
So, you know, they have a lot of talent on their teams to still win a lot of games. So I think they'll be fine.
Absolutely. I mean, they have, you know, two legendary players on the team, and Durant and Harden. But losing Irving, you know, that takes away that victory dynamic that puts them over the top in an elite status. I mean, you could win a title with two superstars. I mean, that's generally how it is the case until the whole big three craze, you know, happened with LeBron James and Bosh and D-Wade, you know. But, yeah, it just makes it tougher, you know. You know, competing with the Bucks and you know, LA and all those other, you know, top teams, you know, because you're basically on an even playing ground with most of those teams, with the elite teams. But once you get rid of that big three, you know, you lose that advantage. But, you know, they're a talented team. They have some veterans, you know, they got Griffin, Aldridge, Millsap, you know. So they got some veteran guys, you know, who's, you know, who has a lot of experience in the NBA. And, they're hoping Irving will come back so that they can, you know, go on the run, you know, for the title, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll see what happens. And then, of course, to wrap up the week, tomorrow afternoon with the Hornets, they're going to host the Wizards, the Heat on Wednesday night, the Pacers on Friday night, and then wrap it up with the Pistons. So, wow, they're playing a lot of home games. They're playing, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then on Wednesday night, they're going to be playing the Hawks on November 3rd. So they have six home games. Like, man, they almost have as much home games as a baseball team. They got six home games. Like, yeah. Have you ever seen that?
It's a homestand, yeah.
No, but like a homestand is like usually like, I don't know, like three to four maybe. Or if
no,
you're on the
I've
West.
I've seen six. Yeah, I've seen that many games before.
I don't think I've seen six.
That's not unusual.
It seems a little too... I don't know. I've never seen that. I can't recall seeing that many in a row like that.
Really?
Maybe five, the tops. Maybe four? Four, maybe. But, yeah,
that's
six
not unusual.
Is like...
Didn't Knicks have that? Didn't Knicks have a homestand like that last season? Similar? The Knicks down the stretch, they were playing a lot of home games. Down the stretch there before they finally went on the road in that latter part of the season, I remember.
You're quite possible on that.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I don't think it's unusual, you know, six. Now, if you had told me 10, I'd be like, well, yeah, that's a lot of games in a row at home. But it is a long season. It's an 82-game season, so, you know.
Yeah.
Shifting gears on the Giants. You know, what's your thoughts on this upcoming game against Darnold and the Panthers? Saquon Barkley looks like he's one of the players that might be out tomorrow.
Well, yeah. I mean, he has right now. I mean, right now he has a gruesome ankle injury. And, yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate right now. It continues to be injured. And, you know, we can't see the brilliance of Saquon Barkley. Can't stay on the field. But he's going to be out. Yeah, is Galladay might still be out also. And Daniel Jones, he's going to play. He played last week, so he'll play play again tomorrow. But Giants, man, there's a lot of areas that they need to play better. Defense needs to improve. Offense needs to improve. And the offense has been dreadful this year so far. You know, I mean, with all the weapons that we got in the offseason, I mean, you would think that we could have improved the offensive line, but it's still the same mess that we had last year. And the defense as well. I mean, something has to give. Something has to change. Mm. And right now we're at the bottom. You know, we have the Cowboys running away with this division at 5-1. You know, we got to win tomorrow or else, you know, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be in a tank. So, you know, we got to improve. We got to get better. And these injuries got to stop also, man. All these plays, they're falling down like Legos.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope tomorrow's a hard-fought game against the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers have had they've had a good season considering, you know, they've also had some injuries, but Darnold, he's been playing. I think he's done a very good job for them so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's proving that the Jets did made a mistake by letting him go. But he's having a very good season. And I think they're going to play hard against the Giants tomorrow. So Giants got to come out. You know, they got to defend the run. You know, they got to get pressure on Darnold. And, you know, they got to win this game tomorrow, man. They got to treat this game tomorrow like it's a do or die. Right now they're 1-4. You don't want to go down to 1-5, or else to me the season's over if you go down 1-5. Because again, Cowboys are 5-1. By the way, the Knicks did have a 6-game winning streak last year. A 6-game homestand, I should say, last year.
Right. Before they lost to, I think, Phoenix. When they were like, they had a 9-game winning streak.
Right, yeah. It was during that, It was during that 9-game winning streak. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that now.
But, yeah, so.
Is that temporary amnesia or something?
But, yeah, I mean, back to the Giants. Yeah, Giants, you got to treat it like a do or die. And that goes for the Jets as well, because Jets are in the same position as the Giants are.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, the Giants, they're, you know, they're 1-5, and they've had, you know, and speaking of the Panthers started out 3-0. And they've lost 3 straight, so they're gonna try to avoid a 4-game losing streak. So that's worth noting. Mm-hmm. And then you have you know, the Giants. You know, lone victory was against the Saints on October 3rd.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, they've lost to the Browns, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Washington football team, the Falcons, and now they're trying to they're gonna and then of course the Cowboys and then the Rams last week. So yeah, they're trying to avoid a 3-game losing streak. Against the Panthers, we'll see what happens with that. And then shifting gears with the Jets. Yeah, the Jets are in a similar predicament,
they're going to be battling, you know, their old rival, the Patriots. And, yeah, now they're going to try to snap their losing streak as well. You know, they lost the last game to the Falcons, 27-20. They came close, but you know it was too little, too late with that game. Now they're going to be hosting the Patriots at 1 p.m. tomorrow. You know and of course you know they lost to the Panthers, week one, 19-14. And the Jets are trying to avenge their 25-6 loss to the Patriots. Then they had an embarrassing loss to the Broncos, 26-0. Won their only game against the Titans, which was the Jets' former name in AFL. And then they lost 27-20 to the Falcons. So now the Jets are going to hostile territory. Against the Patriots, the Patriots are right now they're 2-4, but the Jets they're gonna have to be on guard because you know that mad scientist over there, Bill Belichick, man, he's gonna keep that team afloat, and especially they gotta. A talented young quarterback in Mac Jones, you know. So hopefully,
breaking news.
Repeat. Yeah, I'm listening.
Breaking news: Atlanta Rays are going to the World Series.
Yep.
The first time since 1999.
Yep, they're gonna party like it's 1999.
Mm-hmm. It will be the Braves and Astros in the World Series.
As I predicted last week, and I probably even the week before that too. That's what I predicted, just because I knew this was gonna happen, man. My least favorite scenario of the Braves going to the finals was gonna happen. So now the Dodgers are no longer the defending world champions. Now we're guaranteed a new world champion, either the Astros, who's gonna, you know, they're gonna try to bang that tough brace pitching like, you know, like the drums or the trash cans they did a couple of years ago. You know, they're going to try to prove to Mac and, you know, their haters, a.k.a. Yankee fans, you know, that they could win for real because, you know, we all know the Astros, this isn't the first year, that year, 2017, or I should say 2017, wasn't the first time they cheated, you know. You know, of course.
Well, they're trying to prove it wasn't a fluke.
Mm-hmm. In 86, you know, they had Mike Scott, you know, who was scuffing the ball, and he dominated the Mets as a result, and even the Mets players.
I just talked about this in my show. We went from you Astros Braves to back to the Mets again?
Hey,
I mean,
like I said, the Mets have the best baseball fans, you know, in the world. So I have to, you know, if I have to mention the Mets, you know, because the Mets did face the Astros in the World Series. And unlike
Mets are not playing
guys,
in the postseason, man.
I beat the Astros in the playoffs. So
you don't see me mentioning the Yankees. My Yankees is out. My Yankees is out of the postseason, so it doesn't matter about us anymore. Right now, it's Braves and Astros. That's all that matters right now.
Well, I agree with you. You know, it's until when the World Series is over, 5 days after the World Series is over, when we can make some moves, and most importantly, the Mets need to get a GM or a person of baseball operation. I'm praying it's going to be Brian Sabian, you know, because he was the architect of the giant championship teams that ended the streak of them not winning titles since 1954 when they were a member of the New York Giants with Willie Mays. You know, I'm hoping this same man, with the rumors that they're saying he's interested, you know, he would be interested in coming to New York. you know, that they would actually hire a guy of his pedigree to come over. This guy, he won the title in 2012, 2014, and 2016, if my memory serves me right. Or was it 2020? Let me do the math in my head. No, I think it was 2010, 2012, 2014, if I remember. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It was 2010, 2012, 2014. Because 2015 was the Royals against, I don't remember what team, because, you know, we don't need to mention that team all the time, you know, like you said. And then 2016 was the Cubs breaking their streak.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So hopefully Brian Sabian will bring his winning pedigree. And then, of course, he was an architect on the Yankee teams who, you know, that drafted, you know, Jeter, Mariano, and the rest of the core four, you know. So this guy has the pedigree to win. So hopefully the Mets will make the smart decision and hire him, and then hire Bruce Bochy out of retirement to coach, to manage that team. You know, the rumor right now is that the Mets want to hire a inexperienced guy who's like a assistant GM, you know, a guy who hasn't had been a GM or has the pedigree, and they want to hire that guy, you know, who's like currently an assistant person or, you know, but Brian Sabian, if he wants to come here, you got to get this guy over here. You have to get a guy who's won titles. This is the New York Mets. You cannot bring a guy who has no experience and make him take on this job. This job was so tough that Theo Epstein, who broke the Cubs and the Red Sox streak, couldn't come here. And then, of course, Billy Beane just recently announced that, you know, he wasn't going to come because he doesn't want to be selfish because he has teenage daughters, you know, who, you know, they have their life, you know, in California. He doesn't want to uproot them. So, you know, I respect his wishes. You know, he doesn't want to uproot his family. I mean, you got to admire that, even though, you know, you wanted a guy of his caliber to change the culture and the bad situation the Mets have been, you know, getting these talented people to come over here to fix this huge problem, this 35-year drought. Reluctantly, you know, congratulations to the Braves, even though I hope they lose to the Astros. I have no choice but to root for the Astros now, you know. But, yeah, I like I said, in the NLCS, I thought Braves was going to win the NLCS, and I still think Braves is going to win the World Series. So my fear will be complete. I will see literally see all the teams I hate in every sport that I root for win a title in my eyes, because the Braves won in 95, and that was a few years before I was a baseball fan / Mets fan. So I didn't witness it firsthand, but unfortunately, it's going to happen now. So it is what it is. Hopefully the Mets can make some moves to, you know, shock the world and end this 35-year championship drought. But again, like you said, you're 100% right. It's not about the Mets right now. Other than them hiring the manager and the GM / baseball operation, it's about the Astros and the Braves battling it out for the most prestigious prize in baseball.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Should be a great series.
Mm-hmm. So we will be crowned a new champion. And switching gears, speaking of crowning a new champion, we're gonna shift gears to wrestling, to WWE. And neither of us watched the Crown Jewels event because, you know, we were working, you know. They decided to put it at noon, you know, noon Eastern time. And by the time it ended, it was, work was done, basically. Or you know, depending on how long you work, you know, it was still on during work time. So, you know, we didn't see, none of us saw firsthand or the replays of how it went down. But since you haven't seen it, I'm going to let you guess. I'm going to go one by one and tell you what the match was, and you'll tell me.
Oh, well, I already saw the results.
Oh, you saw the results? Okay.
Yeah, I already saw the results, though.
So. You saw the results today, or you did you?
No, I was looking at it as we were talking. So.
Okay. So.
I didn't know.
Sorry, I should have. You know, since you didn't know, I was gonna like surprise you with the things. But yeah, okay. So now it's back to status quo, like we usually do. We'll just run through the results. So.
Yeah.
Usos versus the Hurt Business. Usos retain. No surprise there. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, no surprise. I didn't think they were going to lose it, so that not much of a surprise to me.
Did they even say the Usos were battling the Hurt Business? I mean, Hurt Business is on Raw, and Usos is on what? Usos is on SmackDown. I think this is like a last-second match that they just put together. With no build-up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Usos defeated the Hurt Business with no build-up to this match. Edge defeat Seth Rollins in the Hell in the Cell match. I mean, I'm assuming the match was, you know, worthy of a watch. So that's definitely a match, you know, I would watch to see how it went down.
Yeah, I'd love to see that one. If I do watch it, I'm gonna definitely gonna fast forward to that match.
Mm-hmm. And then one match you're gonna probably fast forward through is the Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali match.
Oh yeah,
which is
that
basically
one,
a Raw match. Mansoor won as we all expected. Mansoor, this guy has the best record of a hometown hero. Because usually WWE likes to stick it to the hometown heroes and make you lose in front of your family and friends,
mm-hmm.
you know. But Mansoor, he's like undefeated. I think he's like 4-0 in events in his hometown, you know, in his home country, Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
So, you know, congrats to him. RK-Bro, Orton and Riddle defeated AJ Styles and Omos by pinfall to retain the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. Let's see. What else was there? Yeah, this is a match I would like to see. Zelina Vega defeated Doudrop to become the first ever Queen's Crown Queen of the Ring champion. So congratulations to Zelina Vega. This is her signature moment, which
congrats.
You know, I'm very happy for her. She won that because I felt she should have had a match like as scheduled at 9/11, the 20th anniversary. Because, you know, she grew up a WWE fan with her father and, you know, unfortunately her father passed away, you know, as one of the 1,000 people who lost his life on 9/11. So I thought it would have been, you know, a magical moment if they would have had her, you know, challenge for the title and win it on that day. You know,
yeah.
It would have been a very memorable, hard-fought, you know, and well-deserved moment. You know, she's a veteran, you know, in professional wrestling. So it would have been a great moment for her to win the title, you know, and tribute to her father if they would have went that route. But this was great that she had her first signature moment as a WWE superstar. And, this validates her return, you know, returning to WWE.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will lead to a title victory for her in the future. Maybe even against Charlotte Flair, who knows. But yeah, we'll see. Goldberg defeated Bobby Lashley in a no-holds-barred false count anywhere match. You thought Bobby Lashley was going to win this one. I thought Goldberg was going to win this match because, neither of them was holding the title. Bobby Lashley had nothing to lose in this match. So I felt, you know, Goldberg had a strong chance of winning. You know, he was fighting for, you know, in defense of his son who was attacked by Lashley. And that's what happened. Goldberg defeated Lashley. Even though the Hurt Business tried to, you know, attack them, but, you know, it was, you know, Goldberg was a man on a mission and defeated Bobby Lashley. Then you had another match that I really wanted to look forward to. Xavier Woods defeated Finn Balor to become the new King of the Ring champion. You know, a guy, you know, who has been saying for many, many years that this was his lifelong goal to be a King of the Ring champion. Like, he's been lobbying for this, for the King of the Ring to return for many, many years. I think ever since he was like a teenager, he had this vision of him being the King of the Ring, and it finally happened. Like, this is equivalent to him. This is equivalent to Kofi and Big E winning the WWE title. You know, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm really happy for him that his hard work paid off and he finally got the King of the Ring tournament. Because I mean, you know, Finn Balor, obviously he's a talented guy, you know, but I just felt like it meant more to Xavier Woods to win it than Finn Balor. So I was really hoping that he would win it, and sure enough, you know, he's the new King of the Ring. So congrats to him.
Congrats.
Then you had Big E defeat Drew McIntyre to retain the WWE title, as expected, you know. And as a result, Big E, he will be facing the challenger of the Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar match, which I'm going to get to right after the Becky Lynch match. So Becky Lynch, she defeats Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks to retain the SmackDown Women's Champion. So Becky Lynch will be fighting against Charlotte Flair because Charlotte Flair wasn't at the Saudi Arabia event, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair is going to be battling each other for the 8 millionth time. You know, so yeah, their rivalry is renewed yet again. And I felt on Raw they had Bianca Belair fight Charlotte Flair, and I thought that would have been a perfect opportunity to have Bianca Belair win back the title, but win it against Charlotte Flair. I mean, that would have been another career-defining moment for her. I mean, to me, it was like, why did they tease the Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair match if you weren't going to put the title on her? It made no sense, you know. Charlotte Flair, and yeah, I was, in retrospect, I was getting into the match, and then like 20 minutes before the show ended, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this is going to end in disqualification, because 99.9% of the WWE matches for the past couple of years ends in no disqualifications. Like, so then I'm looking at the time, like, it's like 10:59. I'm like, oh man, there's no way she's going to win the match and then, you know, have a celebration, because yeah, this past year or two, WWE, you know, they used to go over like 5 minutes or so, but lately they've been ending the show like right on time.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, there's no way she's going to win the title and celebrate and all that stuff before they go off the air. So then sure enough, Charlotte Flair takes a chair and attacks Bianca Belair, purposely getting the disqualification. So basically, folks, if it's a no disqualification match, expect for the match to end in disqualification. I was, to be honest with you, I was looking for Sasha Banks to come and attack, to, you know, Bianca Belair to cause a DQ. And then, you know, it was just, you know, WWE fans just keep getting tricked, man. You know, they're like, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then afterwards, there's a screwy ending where there's a disqualification, and it's like back to square one.
Yep.
Like, if you have disqualifications happening in a Hell in the Cell match, like they have had in the past couple of years, I mean, it just shows you, man, that WWE is just DQ happy, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's okay to have DQ finishes at time once in a while. You know what I mean? But, like, every solution is a DQ? Like, come on.
I know. That's ridiculous.
It's like, really overboard. But, yeah. So, then, yeah, now moving on to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. And, yeah, from the highlights, it looks like this was a classic. You know, you had Roman Reigns defeating Brock Lesnar. There was one point in the match where Paul Heyman throws the title in the ring. Do what you want to do with it. And then, you know, you still don't know who he was talking to. So then both guys had a tug of war. And Lesnar, I think, took the title. But then the Usos did a double super kick. And then Roman Reigns hit him with a spear. And, you know, retained the title. So, yeah, all in all, looks like it was a very good pay-per-view event. Arguably, on paper, it looks like it was the best event they ever had in Saudi Arabia, period.
Really? You know? You think so?
Yeah, it looks like it. Because they look like they've had some marquee matches, even more so than this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, what other WWE Saudi Arabia event that you thought was, you know, that topped this card? What, the greatest Royal Rumble? WrestleMania?
I guess this one would be, I guess this one would top it.
I can't think of any, to be honest, off the top of my head. I would have to go through all these this stuff, but I think this was you know, on paper, a good, you know, built, you know, matchups.
Yeah.
On paper.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I couldn't tell you how great the matches were because I didn't see them. But on paper, the matches, you know, look like it would be interesting. What WWE should have done was they should have had a legit King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, you know, championship thing instead of just having the finals at the Crown Jewel event.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Vince McMahon, he doesn't like these tournaments anymore. So he doesn't do them anymore, which I think is a pity.
Screw you, Vince.
Oh, man. But the Rangers they won their fourth straight, you know, on Saturday night. Kreider, Lundgren, and Goodrow all scored in the final 6 minutes of the game. You know, for the Rangers to pull off this comeback and win by the final score of 3-2. So as a result, the Rangers have they won four straight. Georgiev made 26 saves, and the Rangers they will be hosting the Calgary Flames on Monday night. So props to the Rangers. To the New York the Garden teams are doing their thing.
Props.
Mm-hmm. And and also in WNBA news, congratulations to the Chicago Sky on defeating the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA playoffs. So this was the first championship, you know, basketball championship since the Bulls, you know, won, you know, in their last dance.
Yeah, I heard about that. And the sad thing about that is they had a parade, and it showed images of the parade, and hardly no one showed up on the street.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Which is kind of messed up, you know. It just shows you that, you know, even though women's sports has come a long way, you know, they still don't get the support that the men's sports get, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they got, you know, Candace Parker, you know, a two-time WNBA MVP, WNBA Finals MVP. You know, she came back home, you know, after spending the first 12 years of her career with the Sparks. And, you know, she brought the title back to, you know, to Chicago, you know, in her first year, in her hometown team. So, you know, props to her. Her teammate, you know, Kalia Copper, you know, won the finals MVP. So, you know, props to them. Yeah, and they defeated Diana Taurasi, Cappy Poindexter, Brianna Griner. So, yeah, you know, again, props to you know, the Chicago Sky. But yes, switching to AEW, unfortunately, I don't know if you heard this, but Jim Ross, he, you know, the former WWE, former WCW, and current AEW announcer, he's been recently diagnosed with skin cancer.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
wow.
You know, definitely going to pray that he, you know, he can, you know, overcome this.
Wow. I hope he can. That's sad to hear.
Yeah, he had, he has skin cancer. He had, he's had a couple of bouts with this skin cancer, and a few years ago, his longtime wife passed away too. So, definitely, you know, praying for him.
Yeah. Wow.
But shifting gears to AEW. Dynamite happened earlier today. It's usually on Wednesday night, but, you know, because of the games, you know, the baseball games, they had to change the schedule. Bryan Danielson defeated Dustin Rhodes to advance to the World Title Elimination Tournament. Ruby Soho, formerly known as Ruby Riott, defeated Penelope Ford to advance to the TBS Women Championship Tournament. Bobby Fish, formerly from, you know, the Bullet Club and the Undisputed Era with NXT, he defeated Anthony Green. Eddie Kingston defeated Lance Archer to advance to the World Title Eliminator Tournament. Jungle Boy defeated Brandon Cutler via submission. And Cody got his revenge against Malakai Black. In the main event. So, you know, props to him for doing it.
Yeah, props.
And Sammy Guevara, he's going to defend the TNT title against Ethan Page next week. Yeah, the Elite, the Attack Jungle Boy. And, we'll keep you posted on, you know, what happens next week. Yeah, I don't. Did we talk about the Wilder versus Fury match last week? Oh, I think it went down last week, right?
Yeah. Well, I know I talked about it on my show. I'm not sure if we talked about it on your show.
Yeah, I think the match might have happened.
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
Was it probably a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure. I don't remember if we talked about it on your show.
Yeah, I don't. Probably not. Yeah, let me see. When did this thing happen? Oh, yeah, October 9th.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. I didn't get a chance to give my predictions, but I thought Fury was going to win. You thought Wilder was going to win. But unfortunately for Wilder, Tyson Fury got the upper hand, in their once and for all match, which was their third bout. First bout, I believe, it was a draw. Second one, Fury won. And then again, the third one, Fury won in the 8-round knockout. So, yeah, this is most likely the end of their rivalry. And it was messed up that Dante Wilder didn't shake Fury's hand,
Yeah.
But, But
he did give him a shout-out on Twitter, I think. And, and it was recently Wilder's birthday, and Fury sent him a message saying happy birthday and want to thank him for these three great matches that they had.
That's good. At least they both redeemed
so respect for each other,
Yeah. So that's good. They both buried a hatchet.
Yeah.
Because I mean they're both gonna be forever linked with each other. So I think it's a great thing that they, because the animosity could have got a lot worse, Like the Ali Frazier match, those three epic matches that they have, You don't want guys, who have that rivalry. You want them to have deep down inside have mutual respect for each other. So it's always great to see when, two people put aside their differences and have mutual respect for each other, even though they're both competing against each other for the ultimate prize,
Yeah, for real.
But, I think that's all she wrote for the 499th episode in this show's history. Is there anything you'd like to talk about before we wrap it up?
No, that's about it for me. Just check out your local listings for my show, iMac.
All right. You're the man. Check out his show, iMac. Also, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And next week, we are going to have the 500th episode a Sports Urban Legend. Hope you guys can come through. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys can come through and celebrate this wonderful milestone that could not be made possible without you guys, without listeners like you. So, again, thank you for all the years that we've been doing it. So, yeah, next week will be the 500th episode, followed by the 501. What did you say?
No, I said looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward for you to be on. And after that, we're going to have the 501 episode, which will be the season premiere. So, which would be also the anniversary show also. Because we started doing this show November 2nd, 2009. So, we'd love to have you guys check it out, as always. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening to this show. Thank you, Mac, for coming on, as usual.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.